So if you could just settle, relax. Come to presence, be here. Just a beautiful place here, very, very lovely, very quiet, very still. Beautiful day. Can allow whatever might be stirring, if anything is stirring, to do its thing, to do whatever it wants to do. Give it all the freedom, give it the space. Allow it to be. If it's some thought or some sensation or feeling in your body, or a thought that's arising, just allow it to be. Give it all the space it needs. Relax your body, relax your mind, relax your belly, relax your chest, your neck. There is nothing you need to do. Being here is effortless. There is nothing you need to do to be. There is an effortlessness , a peace and tranquility about being. Just the purity and the simplicity of being. Not being anybody, not being anything. Just the purity and the simplicity of being. Not being a person, not being a body, not being a man or a woman, just the joy of being. In a way, that's all the teaching. We can all go home now. It is that simple. It is that simple. There is a habit, a thought habit, that says otherwise. it says, I need to do something in order to be happy, in order to be. Because happiness and beingness and being are not two. This habitual thought keeps shifting and turning from moment to moment. It says something else. But throughout the entire conversation, it is saying, you, I, need to do something or need to avoid doing something, to stop doing something in order to be happy. And because we love to play, we believe it. Yeah. We say, okay, what is it I need to do in order to be happy? And thought says, well, you need to become more beautiful, you need to make more money, you need to get more better friends, you need to get a bigger house, you need to get rid of your the ache in your back, you need to... An infinite series of conditions that thought convincingly tells you, promising that if you do that, you will be happy. So we go along, we go for the ride, but we don't get happy. That's the catch. We don't get happy. So when we realize we're not getting happy, then we turn to thought again. And we tell thought, hey, it didn't work. Give me the next, I'm ready for the next level. And thought says, oh, you're ready. Okay, you need to have a family, and you need to have good relationships. So, in order to be accommodating, because we're very loving, we say, okay, let's do that. So we have a family. First we search. We have a family and so on, relationships. But we don't get happy. Then we turn to thought. We say, okay, what now? Oh, you are getting really, you're getting up there. So you need to get enlightened. So go. Find yourself a practice, etc. Join a ashram. And so we do. Maybe that's what we're doing now. I don't know. And be careful. I don't want to get in trouble. No, maybe that's not what's happening. But in my story, that could happen. And in time, you will find that that does not make me happy. But what's lovely about this entire play is that we want happiness. And we want happiness, and we know happiness. We know happiness because we know when we are unhappy that we don't have happiness. So somehow we know happiness. How do we know happiness? If we have to have a good relationship in order to be happy, how do we know? How will we recognize happiness? How do we know happiness? Something within us knows happiness. How do we recognize beauty when we are standing in front of a beautiful vista and our heart is full of joy and peace and tranquility and in front of this beauty and we say, wow, this is really beautiful. How do we know beauty? How do we know this is beautiful? When we feel love and experience this loss of sense of self when, for example, we meet somebody and we know it's love at that moment. I know that down the line is a different story, but at that moment, it's love. How do we know it's love? We don't go to our neighbor and ask him, hey, you know, am I in love? Or we don't go to our professor and say, hey, did I experience beauty in front of this beautiful bird landing, you know, on a branch? It could be that simple. We don't. We don't go ask our partner, oh, do you think that I'm feeling happy right now? We don't. We know. How do we know? If I need to travel through the whole journey of pursuing happiness in order to get it, how do I know that right now I look at this and I say, this is beautiful, I love it? You can just contemplate that love, beauty, and happiness are not in time. You know love, peace, and happiness. You know them because they're an intrinsic part of what you truly are. But when thought says you are a man or a woman that is on a time clock, when thought says you need to reach a certain state in order to be happy, then there is the veil of thought, which we refer to as the veil of ignorance, meaning believing that I exist in time, and that there is something that will be delivered to this I what we refer to as me. That something will be delivered to this me in time, down in time. So I invite you to drop all of that. To drop not to be so worried, not to be so concerned. Not to buy these goods. Don't buy these goods. There's nothing you're lacking. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing you need to achieve. There is no relationship that you need to attain, that you need to get, that you need to be in. There is no situation, new situation that you need to have in order to be happy. All that is illusion. All that is illusion. Somehow, you know that. As you hear these words within you right now, there is a yesness. I know there is a yesness because I know what you truly are. I know what you truly are because I am what you truly are. What's perfidious, what's more tricky about this notion that you are lacking something is that not only we believe that we're lacking better health, or we need a better relationship, or we need a better neighborhood, or a better neighbor. You know, there's always, besides that, that belief, we feel that it is true. Not only we believe that we need to get a better job or a better relationship, better partner, but we feel that too. We feel it. We feel it means that at the body level, at the physiological level, our energy, the vibration, is representing that thought, is representing that belief. And the physiological vibration, the energetic vibration, is closer to the thought. It's closer than the thought to us. We can ignore his thought. We can say, oh, well, I don't believe this. But we can't easily ignore the energetic sense that we have of something is wrong, something is off. This is why the spiritual journey has a dimension to it, which is the yoga dimension, which is the body work to release the ignorance at the body level. The core issue that swings the balance from happiness to unhappiness is the belief that I am a body mind, that I am a person, that I am a man, a woman, a father, a grandfather, a grandmother, a son, a daughter, that I am a body mind. This belief is also felt. We feel that we are this person. As your spiritual journey unfolds, you will feel less and less that you are a person. But speaking, I'm not speaking specifically to your experience right now, I'm speaking more generically. So the contemplation is the contemplation of, am I a person? Am I a body-mind? Am I this sense of me? Or is this thought, this belief, and this sensation arising into the aware space that I am? Right now, in this very moment, you're doing no effort to hear these words or to hear this snap. You're doing no effort. And yet you're aware of the hearing, you're aware of the perception. Effortlessly. The awareness is not in the kitchen. The awareness is not sitting in that chair over there. Meaning the hearing of these words right now, whatever it is that perceives this perception, is not apart from you. Is not located few centimeters next to you, or a few centimeters behind you, or in the chair next to you. And look at that as you hear these words, as you contemplate what I'm saying as you're listening. The hearing of these words, the listening, the hearing, the experiencing of the hearing of these words is effortless. And is not separate from you. Is not separate from you. You and the hearing of these words are not two. You cannot find a separation line between you and the hearing of these words in this very moment. I'm not talking about thinking about it. Oh yeah, I am sitting in this chair and Megdi's out there talking and I am hearing him. I'm talking about the directness of hearing these words right now, going directly. Go directly to the hearing of these words right now, not thinking about it. Look at that. There is an immediate, instantaneous, not in time hearing of these words. It's not, I don't speak and then a second later you hear it. I know there are scientific studies that say, you know, there's a machine that measures that, yeah, there is a microsecond of difference, you know. But in your direct experience, are you experiencing a second distance between these words and your hearing of them? Or is the hearing and yourself at zero time distance of each other? How about this perception right now? There is a perception. Whether you have your eyes closed or open, there is a perception, an image. If your eyes are closed, then it's maybe gray, blackish, brownish, reddish, amorphous image. If your eyes are open, there is this perception. What is the distance between you and this perception? First, do you do any effort to perceive this perception? Do you say, okay, well, I think I'm going to look at that now. I'm going to decide to see Magdi's face now. No. It's immediate. It doesn't take even a second. Right? It doesn't take any second. It's immediate. It's even shorter than immediate. It's, that's why it's referred to as timeless. Timeless. It's not even zero time, because it's no time. Your perception is no time, it's timeless. Don't believe me. Look at for yourself that your perception, does it take 2 seconds? Does it take a second, a microsecond? It's at the same time, you're aware of this perception. You're aware of this image that's appearing, this perception. Yes? You cannot, you agree, wouldn't you, that you're aware of this perception. So that means there is awareness. I ask you, are you aware of this perception? You say, yeah, so there is awareness. So there is a perception, there is awareness. Yes? And also, you're here, right? Are you here? Yeah? You're here, right? Everybody agrees? So there is awareness, there is perception, there is you. It's getting crowded. There's awareness. Well, there's the perception, the awareness of the perception, and you. What's the distance between the perception, the awareness of the perception, and the you? Are you, let's say, 3 centimeters away from the awareness of the perception? Or are you intimately the awareness of the perception as one? So if you and the awareness of the perception are one, and you and the awareness of the sensation, if you sense right now your feet on the floor or your back against a chair, if you turn your attention to the sensation, you don't need to call it back or feet, just let's not call it anything. We use the term sensation. If you turn attention to the sensation, you're aware of the sensation. First, you do no effort to feel your feet on the ground. You just turn your attention to it. There is awareness of the sensation. And you are aware of the sensation. I'm not aware of your sensation. You don't turn around to your neighbor and say, hey, can you please tell me a little bit about my sensation, my feet on the ground, what does it... You don't. You're just aware of it directly. So the sensation, the awareness of the sensation, and you are intimately one. If you take a thought, the thought, gee, today is Saturday. Let's look at this thought right now. Today is Saturday. Yes? So you perceive this thought, meaning you're aware of this thought. Yes? So there is the thought, the awareness of the thought, and you are aware of the thought. So the sensation or the thought, the perception, the feeling, the emotion, whatever it is, and the awareness, and you are one. I'm having a conversation with you now, okay? It's not in the conversation I'm referring to perceptions and to awareness and to you. I'm using this conversation, I'm using this language just to make a point. Don't make a big deal about the language. It's just to make a point. It's not about the language. It's the pointing. So if you and experience and awareness are one, then what is separation? What is this idea that you are a separate person? You're not a separate person. I don't believe it. I know you know. You won't convince me of that. You are the awareness that simultaneously takes the form of perception, a sensation, a thought, a feeling. When you feel happy, it's awareness taking on that form. And the more you're familiar, let's say, with what you truly are, the more you will feel happy. The more you laugh at the thoughts that say, oh, you know, you need to find yourself a better partner, or you need a partner, or you know, you won't be happy, you're unhappy because you're alone. The more you laugh at such thoughts that attempt to diminish you, they attempt to make you unhappy, to say, well, you know what, you have to listen to me. Listen to me, I am telling you, you have to find a good partner. And if you do, I'll make you happy. Who's saying that? Thought is saying, oh, you need to lose 10 pounds. Because when you lose 10 pounds, you're going to feel better. Well, there's some truth to being healthy, okay? But that's not what I'm trying to talk about. And you'll be more attractive and then you'll be happier. Thought says that. So you have to learn to laugh at that. Laugh at that and say, no, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that. I am not buying that. What is this I that is not buying that? The I that is not buying that is the I that's hearing these words right now. You. Not you as a man or a woman. You don't. Right now, you think you're a man or a woman hearing these words, or there is an immediate hearing? Okay, maybe a second after the thought comes, okay, I'm a man or I'm a woman. Fine, I'm not arguing with that. But at the moment of direct perception. There is no man and a woman. There is no father, mother. You don't even know right now that you're a father or mother or daughter or a son. You have to think about it. You have to go to your recollection. You have to go to your library, to your files. Open your files. And the brain does it very quickly. Bzz. I'm a woman and I have 4 brothers and 2 sisters. But still, no matter how quickly it goes, it's still going through the files. Meaning the history, meaning your memory, meaning your storage bins. But you don't live in the storage bins. You live in right here, right now. Right here, right now isn't a storage bin. Except if you want to make it so. You know, why would you want to make it so? You can make it. Oh, yeah, you know, this person has all these problems and I'm trying to, you know, find a better partner and blah, blah. And in a way, this is what we have a tendency to do. We have a tendency to do that. It's a habit. And so we're unhappy. We're happy because it's always the message that there is something you need to fix or to improve. It's not joyous. Improve nothing. Just be happy directly. Being happy directly is not a big secret. Being happy directly is our birthright. Nobody gives you happiness or takes happiness away from you. You are the happiness. You just have to say yes to it. Say yes to pure bliss. Unconditional. Not pure bliss when I get that latest model car. Unconditional. It has to be unconditional. Why would you want conditions anyways? Right? Why would you want conditions? If you're in a relationship with somebody who's putting a lot of conditions on you, or any conditions on you, say, hey, listen, get a life. You know? Go for a walk in the park. Go for a swim. Cool it. Right? You know? Oh, yeah, oh, gee, you're right, you know. You're compromising your freedom by getting into conversation that you shouldn't be having. The conversation is, get a life. Okay, I'm available to help you a little bit about it, but I'm not your, you know, you've got to sober up. But putting that aside, conditions that we place upon ourselves. Conditions we place on. Why do we place conditions upon ourselves? Because of images, thought that says, I am this and I need to be that. Yes? In the absence of thought saying, I am this, because as soon as I am this, believe me, you don't need to go too far from, as soon as I am this, there is going to be, you need to be that. Because this, an object, is always is in the world of forms. We need to prevent it from aging. We need to prevent it from getting sick. We need to make sure that it's growing correctly, etc. You know, retirement, whatever. It's a formula for, what is the expression? Formula for disaster. It's a formula for disaster. So, as soon as the thought arises, I am this, press the pause button. You have to press the pause button and say no. Pausing. As soon as you pause, you come to nowness, pure presence right now, which is open awareness, a field of, this is language again, I'm not talking about like some kind of magical field. It's just the openness of being. That's, you don't need to do any effort to be. There are no borders to being, to beingness. There are no edges to beingness. Beingness is what you are. You are being. You're not a human being. You are beingness. I'm not trying to put down the human beings and humanity. I'm just talking about at the core what we truly are. Not at the core, that's even too complex. Right here, right now, what we truly are is just awareness, pure openness, ease of being. Whichever way, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter what you call it. Presence. But the presence that you are is borderless. It's not contained inside a container. It's not contained inside a container. Thought says, yes, it is. But right now, go right now to the hearing of these words. Right now, to your experience. You're experiencing hearing these words, yes? Mm-hmm. Everybody is. Go right now. Do you hear these words inside a container? Directly go to your experience right now. Do you hear these words inside a, there is a container, there is a edge? Do you, what is the edge to the hearing of these words? Is there any edge to it? None whatsoever. You have to contemplate that. I mean, I know it's a short gathering today, but to contemplate that, there are ways of contemplating that. You have to contemplate that. To notice over and over that you are borderless presence. You know, the light of God. You are the light of awareness. Whatever words you, it doesn't matter what language you use. But you're not inside the container. The hearing of these words is not happening inside the container. From your direct experience. Let's take a thought that says, I am inside the container. Let's take that thought, I am inside the container. Let's look at that thought. That thought right now is arising to you, yes? Meaning you are aware of this thought. Let me repeat the thought. I am inside a container. This thought, you are aware of this thought right now. I just brought it up. Is this thought, or the awareness of this thought, is that contained in a container? Are you experiencing this thought inside a container? No. So even the thought that says, I am inside a container, from your direct experience, it's borderless. The thought is experienced without any, it's not like, you know, the sliding door over there, the thought cannot, it has to, will stop there and will go just to where Jeff is. These are the limitations of the thought. It's a joke, of course not. There are no dimensions, no containers, no space that contains your experience. This is why experience is referred to as infinite, the term infinite, not non-finite, not in time with not in time, the term eternal. You know, I say God is eternal and infinite. I know there are other words that are more better description than what I'm using, but you get the idea. I'm talking about your experience. I'm not talking about some God, foreign God to us. that we need to become one with. I'm talking about our experience. Our experience is divine. It's not happening inside a container. You have to go to your experience and notice that over and over. It's a habit. It's a habit to believe that I am inside this body. And therefore, to sense what is referred to as the me sensation. It's a habit. It's in a way like an unfortunate habit because it brings with it the sense of limitation. And with the sense of limitation, there is the desire for freedom, because limitation is the opposite of freedom. So we're experiencing, in a way, a sense of being in a jail, in a way. I'm exaggerating, but like we are entrapped. And so we have the desire for freedom, which is a very lovely desire, but there is a dichotomy between feeling entrapped and the desire for freedom. And this is what we experience as the suffering. And sometimes we go to the freedom and we feel happy, and then we go to the sense of entrapment, of being a person, of being, you know, inside this body and being unhappy. And in a way, this meeting here is just to move you more into the happy, more into that I am, meaning my experience, I as my experience, as the awareness, which is one with the hearing, listening, sensing, perceiving, thinking, am infinite and eternal. I am not in space and time. Space and time are for my amusement and for my play. You know, we made an appointment today at 3 o'clock out of our love and out of our sense of play and our joy. Thank you for doing that. It's very lovely. So time and space, which is this very lovely space, are for us, for our play. We don't exist in time and space. Time and space arise in us as a thought. We say, oh, well, let's get together tomorrow for lunch. Yes? Doesn't that thought of time, tomorrow at 2 o'clock for lunch, doesn't that thought, which is the thought about time, arise in you? Let's meet at Café Arlequin, whatever, that space, that place, you know, that location. Doesn't that arise in you? You know, you thought of 2 or 3 places and you decide, that's a nice cafe, let's go there. All that is arising in you, but you don't arise in anything. Hearing these words arises in you. You don't arise in the hearing of these words. So, the invitation is to our knowingness, what we truly know. We already know what I'm talking is. We already know. Is the invitation to live our knowingness of what we truly are, which is the open space of awareness, the open presence, the love, the beauty, the you know how when you're happy, you feel like your heart is a million kilometers large. It's that feeling of freedom, happiness. As you are living that, that's what you are. You radiate it. I mean, you don't have to do any effort. You just radiate it because that's what you are. You know, the sun radiates because that's what it is. And this is the blessing that This is the blessing. This is the blessing. The radiation, the radiance of love, the radiance of presence, the radiance of beauty, the radiance of freedom that you are. Maybe it's a good time to